Matthew chapter number 6. We were again with Jim Cook, who was here, and he was preaching there in Douglas. And on Monday morning, Miss Wilma was cleaning up the cabin because we had someone staying Monday afternoon. And so she texted me and said, well, I may back up and tell you, there's a little tray in the cabin, if you have never seen it. It's like a 12 by 12 inch tray, and it's a tic-tac-toe game. And there's X's and O's, all right, for the tic-tac-toe. And it's kind of decoration more than anything. But anyway, she texted me Monday morning and said, I can't find the pieces to the tic-tac-toe game. And I my first thought, well, why in the world would an 80-year-old man steal the pieces from a tic-tac-toe game? So I texted him. I said, hey, bro, where's the pieces to the tic-tac-toe game? And he called me about 2 seconds later, and he said, how many pieces were there? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, I got five round ones and five X's. I said, yep, I think that's it. He said, well, here's what happened. He said, I put the laundry in the tray, and at the end, when I was into my week, I just took the whole tray, dumped it in my suitcase, and never realized I dumped all the pieces in my suitcase. I said, well, it's a good thing we're going to see you tonight. He said, yeah, you can have them back for $20. I think it's a deal. And I said, well, you know what? We found a pair of your socks under the bed, too. He said, oh, which pair? And I said, your favorite pair. And I said, I'll trade you for the pieces. He said, all right, it's a deal. All right. Matthew chapter 6 and 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to talk to you tonight about something simple. You've heard me say it before, but it's a reminder. And I hope that everyone's listening, because every age in here can get this. This is something you can all get. If you'll put God first, you'll get a lot more out of it than if you didn't. But you know what? Our tendency, our nature is to put ourselves first. The Bible says Abraham paid tithes till Melchizedek. What's really cool about that is there was no Ten Commandments. There was no law of Moses. There was nothing that told Abraham he had to do that, except for the fact that he knew in his heart that God is supposed to have first place. Now, if we'll seek God first, if we'll put him first, he'll add all these things. And if you go back and read all the things, it's talking about protection and taking care of you and meeting your needs and providing for you. And so we need to recognize, now understand, I don't do this because it's like a slot machine. All right, God, I'm sticking in my first place, and then I'm pulling the lever, and I want you to take care of me. I don't do this so that I can have guaranteed benefits. I just know that putting him first isn't just about monetary or material benefits, but it's about overall just well-being, and the guilt is lifted of not doing right by God. The taking care of things, of putting him first in everything. So give yourself first. We just sang it. Mr. Spears picked it. Give of your best to the master. And the second verse had first in it so many times. Give, and I didn't pick it, he picked it. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because when we start to talk about this, some of you get kind of cringed up, and you start to get a little tight in your chest, because you're thinking to yourself, I couldn't possibly afford to put God first in my life. Can I tell you right now, look at me real quick, I can't possibly afford not to put God first in my life. I can't afford not to. Now, here's the key. Here's the secret. You want to know how to do this? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know the secret to putting God first? Is not about how much money you give or how much time you give or how much this you do. It's about you putting God first with you. In other words, you give yourself. Heard the story of a man one time that took the offering plate in a missions conference, and they were, of course, collecting money for missions. And the man took the plate, put it on the floor, and stepped in it and said, God wants me to give me to missions. And that's the idea here. Give yourself to the Lord first. You see, if God gets all of me, he'll get this thing in the back pocket that I carry around. he'll get that too, if he has all of me. And that's why Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You know, years ago, you might consider this mean, but I wasn't trying to be mean. I was trying to illustrate a point to my oldest son. And I said, you know, I know my oldest son pretty well. I know my kids better than I know your kids because they're kind of like half me. And I told my oldest son, you are, and this was years ago, not last year, you are the best missionary I have ever known. You are the best giver to missions I have ever known. The problem is, the mission field is yourself. What do you mean? We're good at taking care of ourselves. Actually, we're not good at it. But we're good at putting ourselves first. Okay? And when we put ourselves first, we find out that God isn't pleased with that. Now, that son, since then, began to change. And I'm not saying he's perfect. But I did watch him. I watched him go to South Africa several years ago with Joseph and Brother Bill. And I watched him give a large chunk of his money to a missionary who needed to buy a truck. Now, that son never bought himself a truck, you know, but he was desiring to be a blessing. My daughter contacted me a while ago and said, I would like to give some of my savings to this missionary or do this with it. I like that. That's a blessing. I'm glad that they're learning to do that. But you know where it starts? By just saying all of it belongs to God. There's not one dime in the bank that doesn't belong to God. And he doesn't want all of it necessarily. He doesn't usually ask us to, but he wants us to. And you know what? I'm talking about money for a little bit. But for some of us, it's not money that he wants. He just wants more priority. He wants number one. He wants it to be number one priority and first place. And if you're going to give a living sacrifice, if you're going to give any kind of sacrifice, how should it be? How should that presentation be? Should it be shoddy? Should it be last minute? Should it be half-baked? Should it be first? Look at verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, when I was Mikey's age, and he's starting to drift off and never landed, that's okay. Because he's already had earlier church time. Mikey, I told you this earlier. I'm praising God that you have a mean mom like I did. Mikey said, I don't want to go to church. You know what? Mikey's being honest. I'm thankful for his honesty. One day, hopefully, the attitude will change. But you know what? That's why God gives us youngins to parents. Because parents are supposed to decide for their kids right and wrong. My mom and dad made me eat asparagus and broccoli. It's so cruel. But you know what? There came a time when I actually started liking it. My mom would never hardly ever let us have Frosted Flakes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and, you know, Lucky Charms. We never got. My mom had Wheaties and Cheerios. No sugar. You can put honey on it, but no sugar. Listen, I can be honest, I'll tell you right now, sugar-coated cereals disgust me. To be honest with you, Wheaties isn't that great. But you know what? My mom, white bread? No, wheat bread. Now, at the time, it was awful. But you know what? You're hungry enough, you'll start liking it. And eventually you realize, you know what? This is actually good. This is gooder for me. And you know, when we start to mature, we find out, you know what? Those parents knew what they were talking about. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that in some things, my parents didn't let me just do what I wanted and have what I wanted. They showed me what I should want. That's the job of the parent, is to show you what it is you should be wanting. And then eventually, let's just pray that this happens. Let's just pray that eventually there's a willing mind. No. We're going to win, Mikey. We're going to win. And we need to pray. You're right. And you know what? When you have a willing mind, all of a sudden it's, oh, I don't have to go to church. I want to go to church. I get to go to church. Listen, that's the way it is. And do you not know that God looks down and sees the difference? I mean, it says right there in that same book, and I won't turn it, I think it's either chapter 8 or chapter 9, it talks about God loves a cheerful giver. If you come stomping in because you got to do something, God doesn't love that any more than anybody else would. But if God sees that you're a cheerful giver of yourself and of everything, He loves that. He enjoys that. That's a cheerful thing on His part. Listen, there's so many things that we need to recognize. You know what? God spent for me. I can spend for Him. Look at here in verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. The first song we sang tonight was, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Look, is it too much for a God who is your ultimate authority? Is it too much for Him to ask first place? No. You know what people do in Egypt and other, you know, they used to do this in the Nile River. They would take their firstborn and they'd throw it in the Nile River and feed it to the crocodiles. Why? Because they were worshiping their God. They would take their baby and toss it into the burning fiery furnace because they were worshiping their God. Now, that is horribly wicked. But you know what? They were saying, we're going to give our best to our God. Sometimes we say we have the real God and He doesn't want us to throw anything in the fiery furnace like that. But we don't give Him our best. There's been times I've driven by the Catholic Church early in the morning and I see these cars parked out there. And it's the same cars every day of the week. And they're early in the morning doing their thing. Now, I think they're wrong for what they're doing. But at least they're not hypocrites in what they say they're doing. You know what? You and I need to say, hold it. Am I putting God first in my life? Guess what day Sunday is on the calendar? It's the first day of the week. A lot of people think it's part of the weekend. But Sunday's not the weekend. Sunday's the beginning of the week. And you know what? Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. It says in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, they were meeting together on the first day of the week. And that's why we put God first on the first day of the week. Because that is the first day. That is a way to recognize and honor Him with that. You know, in 2 Kings 3, you don't need to turn there, 1 Kings 3, Solomon was asked in a dream, what do you want, Solomon? Would you like riches? Would you like fame? What do you want? And Solomon said, I want wisdom. Solomon was wise enough to put first, to have priority what he should want. We should desire the things that God would have us desire. Now, this young man just a little bit ago was asking me about this thing back here. He said, how do you get baptized? Well, you know, what do you have to do to get baptized? What's the answer to that? What's the first thing that you have to do before you get baptized? Matthew chapter 3, 7 and 8, John the Baptist said, repent. You know, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. It's belief and trust in Christ before baptism. And so the first thing is putting Him first and trusting Him for salvation before we go get baptized or something like that. Now, let me show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is just one thing. And because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart be also, I think it's important that we just be honest about the fact that most of us, we really kind of feel the sting whenever we feel the sting in our pocketbook. Because money talks, it speaks. And it speaks loud. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, notice that, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So what day of the week, Harmony, should we be giving to the Lord? The first day of the week. We should say, I'm bringing it to the Lord. When I was a boy, I started practicing this. When I was probably his age or your age, I started to practice the idea of giving to God. And I recognized it was the concept of a tithe. I want to take you back here to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Abraham had gotten away from the Lord. There was a famine that came, and he went down to Egypt in chapter 12. He wasn't supposed to do that. But Abraham realized he had messed up, and so in chapter 13, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went up on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. The word Bethel means house of God. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes we just need to get back to the house of God. We just, you know, I've just been away from church so long. Somebody said it, and it's so true during this time right now, this COVID thing. The more you miss church, the less you'll miss church. Pretty soon you'll be like, I can get by without it, because that's just human nature. Well, I guess, you know, I haven't got zapped with lightning yet. The more you miss church, the less you'll miss church. That's what concerns me when people start to get absent. Abraham got himself out of church, Bethel, and went down into Egypt. He says, but he got rich. God blessed him. No, no, no. That riches became a curse. In fact, Egypt, he picked up Hagar. There's a lot of bad things that happened by going down to Egypt. But he knew it wasn't right, so he got out of there and he said, I'm going back to the altar. I'm going back to the place where I've been at the first. I don't need to do less. I need to get back to what I used to do. I need to get back to first place and putting God first in my life. So I just determined that I wasn't going to skip church. And I realize some of you might not be in control of your schedule right now. But as soon as you can, you ought to do like Pastor Matt and Miss Wilma did when we were younger. When we used to work a different job besides being at church. We said, well, you're not working Sundays. Wilma took a job with a grocery store. They never were open on Sundays. There was a big chain grocery store called Jewel Osco that was open on Sundays, and they sold liquor. And the private grocery store was feeling the pressure. And the private hometown grocery store did two things. They applied for a liquor license, and they opened on Sundays. They opened on Sundays first before they applied for the liquor license because they were trying to figure out how to make more money. Let me tell you something. The answer wasn't to be open on Sundays. I don't know if it's still true or not, but a few years ago, the number one fast food restaurant in America was the Chick-fil-A restaurant, and they never open on Sundays. And God will bless that if your purpose is right. God will bless. If He's in it, He'll bless. But Miss Wilma had taken the job before they were open on Sundays. Well, then when they were open on Sundays, they started scheduling employees to work Sundays. And Miss Wilma said, I'm not working Sundays. I didn't agree to work Sundays when I started working here, and I'm not going to work Sundays now. The manager said, well, if you don't work Sunday, well, I'm going to write you up. You get three write-ups, you're fired. She said, well, I guess you're going to have to write me up. So he scheduled her. She didn't work. He scheduled her again. She didn't show up. He wrote her up twice. Now, if he schedules her the third time, she's not going to show up, and then he's going to fire her. But you know what? It was like chicken. Remember the old chicken game? You're both running, you know, who's going to veer first? Guess who veered first? The manager. He wouldn't write her up the third time. He wouldn't even schedule her because he knew she wouldn't show up. Because she meant it, and he didn't want to lose her. You know, I think that happens a lot. I think they just want to find out a few minutes. Listen, it's not just a me thing. I'm not going to be home watching NFL. That's not why I have Sundays off. It's because God is first place in my life, and I just want you to understand that. And if we had that kind of testimony, maybe people would take us seriously. By the way, that store no longer exists. It doesn't even exist today. The Sundays and the liquor did not help their sales and did not save their store. Go with me up to chapter 14. 18. I wasn't going to show you this one, but I think I will. Pardon me for a minute. Chapter 14. Yeah, that's it. 14. And verse number 20. And he blessed, verse 19 and 20. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, that's Abram, Genesis 14, 20, he gave him, Melchizedek, that would be Jesus in the Old Testament. Abraham gave Jesus tithes of all. He honored God. See, I think back in Abram's day, I've read this, and I believe it's true. In Abram's day, it was a common thing to put 10% of your income into savings. And what Abraham was doing was saying, God, I'm putting 10% into you. That's exactly what Jesus said. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. You know what my number one investment has been since I was a kid? Was putting it in God's bank. I know there's an Edward Jones. And I know there's other places out there. And I'm not against those places and the idea behind it. But I'm going to tell you right now, the best investment you'll ever do is the investment for the things of God and obeying God, putting Him first. When I was Harmony's age, I started to do what my parents were learning and had taught me, and I started to tithe of my income. And I would just write out, I didn't have a checkbook, but I would figure out how much my 10% of my allowance was. Not my allowance, you know, $5. In fact, I'm not sure how much of an allowance I had, but I'd mow grass once in a while. So maybe I had $5 this week, or I might have had $20 for the whole month. And so my tithe would have been $2 off of $20. And I was, Harmony, I want you to come over here and sit over here. Just come sit over here. And so my tithe was $2. But I was her age. Come on, hurry up. And my tithe was $2. And you say, well, $2, that's no big deal. But when you're that age, it's a big deal. And so I would give my tithe. Now, when I got to be older and I got to be Sam's age, and maybe I made $100 this month, then it was $10. And then I made maybe a little bit more. I got to college, somewhere between high school and college, I think it was in college, I said, you know what, I'm going to give 20%. I gave 10%, and then I gave 10% more. Now, the reason why I was doing that is because God impressed upon my heart to do it. But the other reason why I was doing it is because I knew if I developed the habit of doing it, it's easier when you only have $5 to give a tithe. But somehow when it's 5,000, what's 10% of 5,000? 500 sounds like a lot. You know what's funny? It's still 10%. In fact, it'd be nice if our government operated on this type of a system. But you know what's funny about it? We start to think. And so all of a sudden, 500 sounds way more than 2. But honestly, if she's got a $20 bill and she gives 2, and you've got 5,000 and you give 20, she gave more than you did. So the develop of the habit was, I'm just going to serve God. And so our church did not, at that time, they didn't have a missions program. They supported missionaries, but they didn't have like a faith promise where we pledged it. So I gave 10%, and then I gave another 10%. And I did that up until we were married. And I did it the first year we were married. And then I said, you know what, I don't want to just become calculated. I want it to be real giving. So, but anyhow, at one time I was given that amount. Look, you know what? I found out that I didn't miss it. I found out that God supplied and blessed and met my needs. And I wasn't really even planning on this, and I don't want to make a bigger deal of this than I need to be. But go with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 8, will a man rob God? Now imagine pulling out a gun and saying, "Stick him up, God, I'm taking your money." That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? But you know what? People do rob God, because in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. How have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what happens when you obey God? God takes care. Look, for instance, if you're listening to Pastor Matt talking about putting God first, and Pastor Matt's putting God first, and Pastor Matt's telling his kids, you put God first and you tithe, do you think God wants those kids to not see it work? I mean, part of the reason why Caleb and Hannah believe that God really blesses is because he really did. and he proved himself to them. And that's my prayer. God, please prove yourself to anyone who's obeying you. But notice it says tithes and offerings. Tithes is how much? 10%. So offering is above that. A bunch of us gave towards Treg Cox so he can have a better smile. That's an offering. You know what's wrong? When you say, well, this week, instead of giving my tithes to the church, I'm going to write the same 10% to Treg and his teeth. You know what you just did? You robbed God. That's like me saying, hey, he needs to get his teeth worked on. Give me $10 so I can put it in the plate. Wait a minute. Take your own $10, Dad. Right? We become communists. We give other people's money away. We give God's money away. Hey, listen. There's a tithe and an offering. So what happened is that I no longer was trying to give 20%. I wasn't worried about that. I always want to make sure I'm giving 10% to the Lord. But then on top of that, I have offerings. Like giving to a special need. Brother Cook was here. Give to him. Give to a special need behind the scenes. No one sees it. It's just something, you know, goes on. Boy, there was a time when someone called and said, Pastor, I am really hurting right now. I am in trouble financially. Do you happen to have any money? And I loaned them some money. I haven't got it back yet. That's okay. I was taught a long time ago, don't ever loan people money. Just give it to them. If they give it back, it's a blessing. Tithes and offering. Now, I didn't say, God, you saw what happened. I can't give to you this week because I gave to him. No. It was tithes and offering. All right? And that's just how I operate. Well, you know what I found out? I just stopped and I think, I might not be completely right, but I think my tithes and my missions is almost equal. I'm not trying to make that, but I think, so it's almost a 20%. I read one time as a young man with this guy named Letourneau, and he was the inventor of these huge tractors out in the coal mines. He's a Christian. There was a time where he said, God, I will give you. If you'll just bless me, I will give you. I will tithe. And God blessed him, and he never gave anything. And God brought him down to nothing. And Mr. Letourneau said, God, I'm wrong. And please forgive me. I'm not going to ask you to bless me or make me rich, but please forgive me. And God blessed him again. Mr. Letourneau invented this huge machine that moved all this dirt. He called it the G machine or G mover. And they said, why do you call it the G series? He said, because it moves a lot of dirt. And that's kind of like a gossip. They move a lot of dirt. So I just call it the G machine. And but she said, you know what happened when he died? When Mr. Letourneau died, he was living on 10% and he was giving 90%. He had enough with 10% of all that money that he could give the 90. And I didn't want to be like Mr. Letourneau, but I thought it was kind of cool. And I'm going to tell you right now, and Ms. Wilma can tell you this too. From the time we got married until today, we just have way more than we should have. I mean, look at this. Look at this beautiful profile right here. We have way more than we need. We are taken care of. We are blessed. Our needs are met. I don't like to tell stories like this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, just because it illustrates the point. I was asked to go to the church in Wyoming and sing. I've done it before. And I don't mind. I'd love to preach, but that's all right. They asked me to sing. That's fine. I go down there. I sang three songs Monday night. And no big deal. Now, last week, Miss Wilma went down and had her first root canal. She brought back the bill. Oh, great, you know. And after Monday night, we're going to be there Tuesday. After Monday night, the preacher was walking by, and they had a missions conference, so they had different missionaries there. And I saw him with some envelopes, and he handed me an envelope. He said, here, brother, this is for you. Oh, wow, thank you, Pastor. You know, we're just glad to come. You know, it's no big deal. I opened it up. There was more in that envelope than her root canal. There was more in there than I had given to Treg on Sunday. What I'm trying to tell you is that you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God.
And God blesses when you put Him first. I'm not saying I always put Him first. But I can tell you this. There's just some things that we don't do, for one thing. We don't not tithe. That's just a no-no. We don't not tithe. We don't not take care of whatever we know God would have us to do and give. There's been times where I ate macaroni without cheese because we didn't have the cheese. It's okay. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. I know how to be high and low. I know. And you say, well, if God is taking care of us, then why would He allow us to go without? I think some of us need to learn how to go without. Because you know what our biggest problem is ourself. Our God is ourself. And if we're really worshiping Him as our God, we need to go without to prove that we put Him first. And so it is good for me sometimes to forfeit my own desires or pleasures so that God can be first, so that I can be reminded. And what else it does is it reminds me that He takes care of me. There have been times where I said to Miss Wilma, don't write any more checks. We have $3.73. And we have that until 3 weeks from now. Don't even write any more checks. No, I mean, and now that includes the tithes and offerings. But that's it. Oh, listen. Do I look like I missed a meal? They're all taken care of. All the bills are taken care of. God meets our needs. I'm just trying to get you to understand. Put first things first. When you get out of order with God, you're in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Now, here's what happens to us. Look at Haggai. Just a couple of pages back, but I just seem to not all of a sudden can't find it. But Zechariah, right before Zechariah is Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. Verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much. Now, he says, you have a sealed house, but my house is not taken care of. Verse 6. Ye have sown much, bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. You ever been there? I know I just got a paycheck, but what happened? It went right out the bottom of the bag. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know what I'm going to tell you right now? God has never blessed me with lots of wealth, but He did something that I think is more special. He sewed up the bottom of my bag. A lot of us, we've had a lot come and go. Henry was telling me yesterday about a man who had $2.5 million. And the entire family died of a murder-suicide because of just wickedness. This was 25 years ago in Douglas, Wyoming. I would think $1 million would be enough for a family to be happy. You know why he wasn't happy? Because his wife wanted to divorce him and take more. So he killed his wife, killed his son, then killed himself. He was mad because, and the reason why the wife wanted more is because she had spoiled the son and the son squandered it all. They had $1 million. He squandered it. So now he wants more. There's so many people out there that will stand before God and they'll have way more account of what they had and wasted than maybe you and I ever saw. But if you know the story of like the widow woman, Elijah came to her and said, you feed me. What priority did he tell her? You feed me first and then watch God take care of you. And she went back to the barrel and there was enough for the next day. She thought for sure that was the last. She went back to the barrel. There was enough for the next day. And Jesus even bragged about her. He said there's a lot of widow women in Israel, but it was the woman in Syrophoenicia that got taken care of, because another widow woman in Israel would obey. She put God's man first, and God took care of her. A lot of people don't like this because they think that it's just some TV preacher trying to get. That has nothing to do. I'm not telling you this for any material gain. I'm telling this for your own good. And I learned from my parents. My parents taught me that this plastic thing, they taught me that these things were evil. My mom told me how evil these were. Now, she just told me how dangerous they are. There was a time where my parents did an entire Christmas on the credit card, bought gifts for all the relatives, and had a huge Christmas bash. About the middle of January, the bills came. My mom said, these things are dangerous. So up until I was 18 years old, when we went to college, I didn't have one. But then I realized, and some others say, hey, you're going to have to build some credit. That's just the world we're in. But I never use one of these unless I know I can pay for it. What I do now is I use them for perks. In fact, in traveling, it's just nice to have one. But I don't have any outstanding balances on any of these. I have had in the past. I have. But boy, did I learn my lesson. Interest is horrible. And what a shame that I couldn't give that interest to God, because I got to give it to Visa and MasterCard now. And you've heard me talk about this shaggy, redneck baseball player named Charlie Blackman, who's an all-star baseball player. He makes millions of dollars. He hit a grand slam a couple nights ago. He drives an old Jeep Cherokee that his parents gave him when he graduated from high school. And his buddies who drive Lamborghinis say, why do you drive that old thing? Still runs. I like that. I showed all of my kids that guy. I don't think he's a Christian, but I said, that's cool. Because just because you can doesn't mean you should. I appreciate people that I know that live simply and drive something a little less frivolous and give more to God. And what I've noticed, and here's what I appreciate the most. I don't appreciate it just because they do that. I appreciate because I can tell they are happy. They're content. They're at peace. Henry and Kay Lay are those kind of people. And there's other people that I've met in my life that are that way. Some may be even here tonight. Just put God first. I'm not saying like a slot machine. Okay, I'm going to try it one time. You know, no. Just put God first in everything. Just put him first. Trust him. And watch him sew up the bottom of the bag. He doesn't necessarily give you a great big chunk of money. But if he'll sew the bottom of the bag, it's amazing what happens when he sews up the bottom of the bag. I'm running out of time because I spent so much time on this. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, if you're not right with someone else, before you try to offer anything to God, go first to that person and take care of it. That's another first. To reconcile with them first. And then go offer your gift. I can't preach to you without being right with other people. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. But then if you keep reading, Jesus said, first, pull the beam out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to pull the mote out of your brother's eye. First, take care of the hypocrisy in your own life before you try to tell someone else what to do. First, also in authority, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 through 4, it says, if any widow have sons or daughters or nephews or nieces, they should requite and to show respect to their parents first. In our church, if we have a widow who has a need, but that widow has sons and daughters, that widow has others in the family. In other words, she's not really a widow indeed. She has family. That family is obligated and responsible to take care of her. A widow indeed is someone who has nobody. And so it's the idea of learning respect and responsibility for our loved ones, our parents. And then Luke 14, it said, if you want to serve me first, count the cost. No man goes out to war without sitting down first to count how many soldiers he has versus the enemy. And first count the cost to see if you can finish. So before you make a pledge to God, make sure you've counted the cost and whether or not you're really going to put him first. Don't commit to something if you don't mean it and you're going to put him first. Jimmy Cook is a crazy guy. But if you were here the other night, he got saved. And 8 days later, his buddy's saying, hey, I think you might want to go to a Bible college. And he reads on there, now, you can't smoke if you're going to go to this Bible college. You can't use tobacco. And you can't use alcohol, Jimmy. He said, well, I don't drink anymore. I gave that up 8 days ago. Well, you can't use tobacco either. He said, boom, put it down. I'm done. He said, Jimmy, it smells like smoke in here. I'm done. This is it. That's it. I'm done. Now, it's kind of hard to believe that, right? If you're standing there, it's like, because it's easy for people to say they're going to quit, right? That was it for Jimmy. He counted the cost, and that was it. There's no fallback or, you know, I might have a relapse. No, we're done. I'm putting God first. Let's just finish with this tonight because I'm running out of time. Revelation chapter 2. I think we just need to realize that no matter how much we think we give God, if we know it wasn't really sacrificial, it isn't really impressive to God. You say, what do you mean? If a millionaire gives $1,000 or a millionaire gives $500,000, he's still got a $500,000 left. God one time was sitting and he watched this widow drop in two mites. This widow dropped in two little mites, less than a penny, into the offering. And Jesus said she gave more than all these other guys. And the disciples said, oh, come on. And Jesus said, no, I happen to know that that's all she had. I happen to think that she went home and found something unusual. I happen to think that she did not go home and starve to death. Anybody here thinks that Jesus used her as an example and then she went home and starved to death? No, I happen to think that she got home and some unusual thing happened for her. And yet the man is so impressed. Wow, look at that big chunk. Look at that. One time, Ananias and Sapphira tried to impress people. But God knew what they were doing. Don't try to impress Pastor Matt. Don't try to impress anybody else. Don't try to think. And don't think. This is a danger. People who do have wealth, they think, well, without me, this church will fold. Hey, if it's God's church, is that true or not? That is not true. God doesn't need rich people. God can make money if he wants. Oh, God just wants to prove us and make sure that we're putting him first. And you know what I think the real issue is? It's not so much that God needs our money, because God doesn't need our money. It's not so much that God needs our time or God needs this. God just wants to know if he really is first place. See, one time my God told a man to take his firstborn promised son, not the first son, but his firstborn promised son, to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice. And that man took that boy and went up and was going to plunge a knife into him. And God said, hold it, Abraham. I just wanted to see if you were really putting me first, because I know how much you love that boy. That's what God wants. He just wants to see if he's really... I think that's why sometimes we have macaroni without cheese. To just find out, okay, now that they have macaroni without cheese, what are they going to put first? And when he finds, no, still number one. God, you're still number one. Going through it right now, it's kind of tough times, but you're still number one. And when he finds out he's number one, that's what he wants to know. Is he number one with you? Is he number one? Revelation chapter 2 says this. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. What we need to do is we need to just say, God, I used to put you first, and now I'm fudging a little bit. Now I'm skimming off the top. I'm not putting you first in every area. Before the IRS gets my money, God gets my money. You say, nah, when you get paid, the IRS takes it out. Nope, I've already calculated what my gross was, and I just tithe off the gross. Jeff was telling me about an old lady that used to pay that way. She would pay all of her employees in cash, and then the next window they were supposed to give back the IRS their stuff. And the government shut her down because they didn't like the way she was doing it, because it was too obvious what she was doing. She was showing them how much of a ripoff the IRS was. So what happens is that we think, well, this is my paycheck. No, your paycheck was the whole amount. And you give God the whole amount. The IRS, you know, that stinks and it's not good. We don't like it, but God's getting the whole amount. I'm going to put him first and trust him and allow him to be in charge. And I want to make sure that I overgive, not undergive. I want to make sure that I overcorrect, not undercorrect. I want to be right with the Lord. I want to be right with other people. I don't want to try to talk about the things of God and not be right with other people. I want to make sure that I'm putting first things first, not being a hypocrite with a beam in my own eye. I don't want to leave my first love. And please don't tell God I said this, because it's kind of scary. But honestly, those days where I had macaroni without cheese, sometimes I was closer to him than I am when I have a steak dinner. You know what I'm saying? Those are sweet times when I know that I didn't have any way to get it fixed and God fixed it, but I put him first. I had to eat rough, had to eat macaroni without cheese, had to go without. It was tough, but I found God to be there. And I'm thankful for all this for the main reason that it taught my family some stuff. I could show my kids, look what God did. I could show how God's taken care of and provided for us and met our needs. And I can stand before you and tell you the same. God is good. And if I lose a lot, I'll still put God first. Let's say the economy goes kapooey. Let's say that I have to take a mark of the beast. And if I don't take a mark of the beast, I won't be able to buy or sell. Let's say that all I can do is grow vegetables out of my garden. You know what I'm going to do? Every 10 potatoes, I'm going to give one to God. You know what I mean? I'm just still going to figure out how to tithe. I'm going to figure out how to put him first and trust him. Richard Wurmbrand was a prisoner in Romania, and they would get a little crusty old moldy piece of bread, and every one of the prisoners would figure out a 10%. And they'd pile it up and they'd give it to the guy that was the sickest and the weakest. That was their tithe to God in the prison. They just figured out a way to still honor God. I mean, what else are you going to do? They got nothing. You just figure out how to honor God. Put him first. Put him first in every area of your life. Let people know that he's your first love and it never changes. And that might solve a lot of your other problems. It might solve your financial problems. It might solve your unhappiness problems. It might solve some other problems. It might even open up doors you never thought about. Put him first. Make him number one. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for reminders in your word about putting you first. I know it's just a
a temptation because we're all self-centered. But help us to put you first. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean on you and not our understanding. And let you honor what we do in obedience. I pray that if there's someone here that's talking to you right now, that you'll help them to just work through this and allow you to be number one. May you bless and revive and renew and strengthen. And may you bless obedience. Help us to live like we say you are number one. Help us to really live it. And we thank you for tonight, for the young people that were here. We thank you for the way you have used people who have put you first and how you've blessed. But please encourage and strengthen the heart that is troubled and help them to allow you to just be number one in their life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.